Hi, this is Vikas Dubey, BA Part 2 Faculty of Social Science. Ant analysis of Jimmy's anger. Look Back in Anger had a tremendous impact on audience when it was first produced. One reason for the huge success of the play was the immediacy of the play subject matter. Osborne displayed his feeling for the contemporary idiom and by his sharp comments on matters ranging from pause. Sunday newspapers and white tile universities to the bishop and the hydrogen bomb class distinction. Jimmy, the dissatisfied youth, representative of the post-war British youth, lashes out at the world with contempt. Most of his so-called tirades against the world are triggered by the debased modern values, but the action of the play is only were indirectly influenced by such social question as the class system. There is no doubt that Jimmy detests the upper class to which his wife belongs and does not spare anyone from the upper class from his harsh criticism. In fact, he bullies his wife constantly by condemning his wife's family in the strongest possible language. Allison seems right when she says that Jimmy regards her as a hostage of the upper class against which he is waging a war. Her description of Jimmy's invasion of the upper class world as a part of the class war he is waging is nothing but true. But his attack on the upper class or his class war is triggered more by his personal interest rather than his interest in a social issue. Denied of a suitable job in spite of his academic achievement, Jimmy has come to feel that the upper class has deprived him of his dues because of his low origin. He holds the upper classes of the society responsible for his inability to utilize his intellectual capabilities. Moreover, Allison's parents' opposition to his marriage further infuriates him. The social disparity between Jimmy and Allison creates tension in their marital life. Dissatisfaction with life in general. We get a fair idea about Jimmy's temperament when the play first opens. The very first speech that he utters is marked by irritation. He starts with a speech complaining about Sundays. He says that the routine life of Sunday depressed him. Our youth is slipping away. He complains. He is discontented with the Sunday newspapers, discontented with his wife Allison, and even his friend Cliff does not offer him any relief. He complains that the Sunday newspapers makes one feel ignorant. He accuses his wife of not paying any attention to his talk. He complains that Allison hardly listens to him but goes to sleep when he begins to speak. He snubs Cliff as a too ignorant to understand what the newspaper have to say. He makes fun of the Bishop of Bromley and a woman who in her religious fervor got herself badly injured in a rally. He remarks sarcastically that those who sacrifice whether of their careers, their belief or their sexual pleasures never wanted those things in the first place. Lack of imaginative response. Jimmy is annoyed and infuriated by the lack of imaginative response he encounters everywhere. He asks Cliff and Allison, "Did you read Priestby's piece this week?" Without waiting for their answer, he goes on to say that it's meaningless to ask them such a question because he knows that they have not. He adds that both Cliff and Allison are incapable of raising themselves out of their delicious sloth. He accuses them of not showing any enthusiasm and says that they will drive him mad by their apathy and ignorance. Annoyed with Cliff and Allison's lack of enthusiasm, he sarcastically proposes to them, "Let's pretend that we are human beings and that we are actually alive just for a while. What do you say? Let's pretend we are human. Oh, brother, it's such a long time since I was with anyone who got enthusiastic about anything. Zimmy's sufferings. Zimmy's anger has deep roots. He is the kind of person for whom the miseries of the world are his misery and will not let him rest. He is capable of loving other people's lives, suffering on behalf of others. He encountered the bitter experience of losing his father at a very tender age, at the age of 10. He had suffered at the bedside of his dying father. He was the only one in the family who seemed to care about the dying man. He recalls that experience with great bitterness every time he sat on the edge of his father's bed to listen to his talk. He had to fight his tears back. At the end of the 12 months ordeal, he had become a veteran. He tells Helena that at the early age of the more about love, betrayal and death, and she would know all her life. He also suffers an account of Huck's mother. He is distressed to learn about her illness and immediately plans to go to London to visit her. Lack of compatibility between Zimmy and his wife. Although Zimmy and Alison had a love marriage, their marital life was marked by the lack of essential compatibility between the couple. Alison is an embodiment of the values of the upper class, which her husband defies. Basically, quiet and well-bred, she refuses to stoop to Zimmy's level to retaliate against Zimmy's provocations. Zimmy wants her to adopt his working class culture, discarding her upper class culture completely. Her refusal to do so and her correspondence with her family despite his resentment is considered as an act of defiance by Zimmy. Her inability to cut off completely from her background infuriates Zimmy and is the cause of tension in their married life. Alicia's silence in the face of his vicious attack makes him mad with rage. Alicia's indifference makes communication between herself and Zimmy impossible. He sarcastically calls her a monument to non-attachment, offended by his inability to provoke her. To retaliate to his attack, he remarks that girl there can twist your arms off with her silence. They are both defeated by an incompatibility that is too deep rooted to be cured by sexual harmony. Zimmy's deep rooted need. Zimmy seeks from his women much more than he could ever hope to get from them. It is his overriding need to possess a woman's complete love and his inability to do so, which disappoints him. His inability to get what he seeks infuriates him, and he turns on his women with savage resentment. When he first fell in love with Alicia, he was attracted by what seemed her wonderful relaxation of spirit. Soon after their marriage, he discovers that he had a false notion about her. Regret over a word which is no more. Zimmy laments in Act 3, Scene 1, there are not any good brave causes left. He says that there is not a single cause that is worth a sacrifice. There is also a wistful note in Zimmy's attack on people who have escaped the pain of being alive by living in dreams or in the past. He mocks at Colonel Redfern, Alison's father, for his nostalgic reference to his past life in India. Sexual passion offers no solution for Zimmy's anger. Sexual passion offers Zimmy a contemporary relief but does not cure his trouble. He alternates between sexual yearning and sexual disgust in a way that is different to understand. In the first act, after Cliff goes out for a while, Zimmy and Alison share a rare moment of tenderness. They'll play the game of bears and squirrels that symbolizes their uncomplicated love for each other. They forget the bitterness and the tension of their marital lives. Zimmy lovingly calls Alison as a beautiful gray-eyed squirrel, and she responds by calling him a jolly super beer. So overjoyed was Allison that she was about to reveal her pregnancy when Cliff comes in and the situation changes. A little after his turn is seen, Jimmy becomes the rude boar who makes an insulting comment on his wife by saying that she has the passion of a python and devours him like an oversized rabbit while they make love. This is the end.